Merry Christmas, and welcome to First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, on this, the first Sunday of the Christmas season. Yes, we're continuing our Christmas celebration, and we are glad that you could be a part of it today. Whether this is your first time to worship here, or you're worshiping here in your 20th year, whether you are a church member, a family member, a friend, or a guest who's never been in these four walls before, or if you are even someone who is part of our radio audience, we welcome you here today. We pray God's blessing upon you. Please know that a prayer has already been said for you today, that as love came down at Christmas, that same love might touch your life in a significant way this hour. Welcome, and God bless you.
Those of you who are members here will know that this is not Charlie Benton. This is Rick Sebastian. Charlie is under the weather, and Rick has agreed to assist in the worship service today. So I'm delighted to have this newly elected deacon assisting as we worship together. Let us bow our heads now and pray the Lord's blessing. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the conclusion of an old year, we recognize, like old shoes, that there are aspects of it that are very comfortable, and like new shoes coming into a new year, there will be squeaks and discomfort for a time, but we recognize that in the midst of all of that, you are Lord, you are Master, you are the one who blesses us and keeps us and holds us close all the day long. And so, Father, as we come to the close of a year, the beginning of a new year, we pray your presence here with us this morning in a place where we know you can be found and that you will guide us and bless us through this service and through the rest of our lives. We pray this prayer in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join with me as we affirm our faith through the affirmation of faith as printed in your bulletin. We believe in God, our Creator, who sent John the Baptist as a voice crying out in the wilderness, who calls all persons to repentance and faith, who prepares the way for the coming of his Son. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose first advent was announced by angelic messengers, whose birth at Bethlehem occurred among throngs of humble travelers, whose second coming will be in power and glory. We believe in the Spirit of God, who preserved the Christ child from the wrath of King Herod, who directed wise men from the east to the baby Jesus, who guides all of us in the way. O God of all our hope and longing, travel again this year with your faithful pilgrims. Walk with us to Bethlehem and beyond. Join with your people as we journey through life. Good morning. Looks like you and I have to hold the tradition going here. I know the past few weeks that Pastor Brewer has been taking you on field trips during this time of children's time. I know that one week you took a field trip to the Advent wreath. I know one time you took a field trip to the Chrismon tree. I know one time you took a field trip up to the manger. And all of those field trips were meant to help you understand more fully the season of Advent and the difference God made in our lives during that time period. But let me ask you this. I don't have a field trip for you to take this morning, but I do have a question. If all of those field trips were the purpose of helping you to get to know Advent better, and Advent is now over, then what's all this stuff still doing here? How come we still have an Advent wreath? How come we still have a Chrismon tree? How come we still got the manger scene? Let me give you a hint. It's a song you might know. I'm not going to sing a whole bunch of it, just a little part of a song. See if this helps you to might understand why. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, you ever heard that song? Mm-hmm. You know what it's called? The 12 days of Christmas, yeah. Christmas celebration is 12 days in length. The church decided that hundreds of years ago. They decided that what happened on Christmas was so important and so wonderful, you couldn't limit it to just one day, have all this Advent buildup, and just a one-day celebration. No, no, the church said, we need a 12-day celebration. Starts on December 25th. And goes all the way to January the 5th. And so all of this stuff is still up here because we're in the midst of our Christmas celebration. So you can figure out how many days have passed so far. December 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. Today's the 31st, right? How many days have passed so far in the Christmas celebration? Seven, yeah. And if there's 12 altogether, how many are left? 12 minus 7 is 5 days left in our Christmas celebration. Yeah. So all of this, all of Christmas, is meant to remind us of the great love that God sent us on Christmas and give us a chance to sing God's praises and to celebrate. Let me share a prayer. Dear God, Christmas Day was wonderful. The gift of Jesus the Christ was wonderful. The chance to celebrate His birth is wonderful. We thank You, God, for 12 wonderful days to celebrate the wonderful gift that You have given to us. Lord, may our praise of You and our thanksgiving reflect the tremendous gift that You have shared with us. And this we pray in the name of the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
The first lesson today is taken from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, and chapter 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Now, the next verse. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God, and in your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and you shall be married. This ends the scripture for today.
Our second lesson for today is Psalm number 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling His command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to Him. Praise the Lord. Here ends the reading of the second lesson.
The third lesson is from the epistle, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This is the written word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Pray with me. Father, may the words of my mouth, our mouths, and the meditation of my heart, our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. H.G. Wells insisted that there is no passion in the world greater than the passion to alter someone else's draft. At the risk of succumbing to that passion, I'd like to suggest that the best way to get the Apostle Paul's point across in that Philippians passage is to rewrite it and use the words this way: anxious in nothing, prayerful in everything, thankful in anything, then the peace. When a Christian has matured enough to allow those three attitudes to guide his or her life, the peace of God does settle gently over the mind and the heart. In the liturgical calendar, as we've heard, today is called the first Sunday of Christmas. And we know that Christmas, with all its religious preparations and shopping and wrapping and cooking and parties and Christmas card sending and traveling, and usually turns into the most anxiety-driven time of the year. Christmas is wonderful, but the very fact that it's date-specific creates anything but peace of mind. And as a matter of fact, I still have cards to send, but they will be Happy New Year's cards, and they probably won't get out until Easter. Some of us are organizationally challenged. Paul's words should shake us out of our anxieties and create in us a sense of peace, a peace of mind. How many of us can say that we're really trying to live according to that apostolic principle? Anxious in nothing, prayerful in everything, thankful in anything. Well, you or members of our congregation know that I've spent a good part of the last 2 months, I guess, with back surgery and recovery and all of that. And really, for a Sunday morning, this is the first time I'm back in the pulpit. So those of you who are visiting with us, we're grateful that you're here. We're delightful that you've come to First Baptist here in Savannah. And you are very special because you get to see me actually stand up and preach, where before I was sitting at the communion table. Anxious in nothing. Well, there's nothing more anxiety-ridden, other than Christmas perhaps, than anticipating major surgery and then dealing with the aftermath, and sometimes the aftermath is severe indeed. Anxious in nothing becomes rather hard to live with at a time, and you do become anxious. You do worry a bit about how it's going to affect you and what the result is going to be and whether or not it really will be successful. Those anxieties are just a natural part of life, and it's not the only kind of anxieties we have. Frances Willard, the great temperance leader, once remarked with her usual forthrightness that anxiety is atheistical. Well, to be constantly anxious suggests that we don't quite trust. What does the 16-year-old say when he comes in 30 seconds before his curfew and sees you waiting up? The first question is, what's wrong? Don't you trust me? As the parent of three children, now in their late 40s and one just turned 50, you don't believe that, do you? I was far too young to have a 50-year-old daughter. Beverly and I started our family early. We were just out of grade school. But raising three kids is always a problem. And there are a number of anxieties that creep in with that. waiting up for a child that's not home on time is one of those. Now, of my three children, the middle child, my son, who really is the most engaging human being on earth and very successful in his business, was the one child we could count on to break curfew every single time. There are folks here from Fayetteville, and they know that I used to live in Dunn. There's nothing to do in Dunn. There's nothing to do after 7 o'clock p.m. in Dunn. And my son somehow found a way to be involved with friends and friends and more friends until past curfew, which was for him 11. And 11 o'clock would turn into 11:30. And my wife would be waiting by the telephone for the police to call. And every time we heard a siren go by, we were confident that that son was in a ditch somewhere and we were going to be a call to come and rescue him. He was the one child of the three who pushed the boundaries every single time. And it didn't have to do just with curfew. It was anything that we said don't do, he was going to do in spite of and high water. That was just the nature of his personality. And so we were in a constant state of worry. Did we pray? Oh, a lot. Did we learn not to be so anxious? We did eventually when we realized that the things that he was doing and the people who were with were church folks. Now, sometimes that's not the best thing. Sometimes that's a scary thing. Because you sort of feel that you can do anything you want to because God's going to forgive you and it's going to be all right. Well, it reached a point in our house where all he had to do was to come in and say, I know, I'm on restriction for the rest of the month. And then he realized he really was on restriction for the rest of the month and figured that what difference did it make? He was going to be on restriction until he left home. Well, anxiety, did we ever have it? Yes, we did. You understand something of what that's all about. It's what we don't trust that makes us anxious. Over our teenager's social life, one event, over our spouse's health or our own, when our own career takes a turn that we didn't expect. It's when we feel like we no longer have control over the situation that causes us to be anxious. And no matter how many extra precautions we take or how well fortified we are against the eventuality of something poor happening, deep down we still know that the movements of the universe are far outside of our control. Kids grow up. Illness attacks without warning. Companies downscale and lay workers off. As Presbyterian friends say, predestination happens. But if we let our anxieties over the uncontrollable factors in our lives rule us, we lose our ability to become agents of God's peace in the world. How can we rejoice and witness to the joy of the Lord if we're anxiety-ridden, if we're afraid, if we're frightened, if we're scared? If we can't trust God, then whom can we trust? The scripture says, be anxious in nothing, because God is God, today, tomorrow, and always, and he's there to lift us up. Second, prayerful in everything. There's a classic Dennis the Menace cartoon that depicts an angry Margaret staring at Dennis as he walks by and says, I'm not speaking to you anymore, Dennis Mitchell. The next frame shows Dennis, his eyes rolled heavenward, saying, oh, thank you, Lord. When confronted with an unexpected victory or an unforeseen defeat, is your first response to turn towards God in prayer? The very reason we can be anxious in nothing, that we can rejoice in our Lord, is that God is always, always powerfully present for us in prayer. He's present for us anyway, but it's when we are in prayer that we acknowledge the fact that we're speaking to an unseen person who actually hears, understands, and reacts to what we're sharing. Paul recognizes that most of our prayers are better called supplications or requests. But sometimes when we feel spiritually strong and are well-centered, our souls do turn towards God, and we actually do carry on a conversation. in the same manner in which we would have a conversation with a dear and beloved friend. It isn't all about asking. Although one little boy running up the stairs said goodnight to Mom and Dad, and he said, "I'm going to now say my prayers. Anybody want anything?" That's the attitude that many of us take. But a personal conversation with God, a relationship that begins to build and grow such that we become melded and blended as a personality, filled with the presence of God and assured of His presence always. That's the kind of prayerful life that we need to develop, a personal conversation. But there are other times when we actually approach God on our stomachs. When our spirits are parched and we're dragging, we come to God as supplicants, admitting our own inadequacies and recognizing that God is indeed the source of all healing. Often, though, we seek God with specific requests. And sometimes our requests may seem childish and simple, just like the two little boys in early September who put on their mittens and their coats and their hats and their scarves and perched on the top of the hill on their sleds and said, "Okay, God, we're ready to go. Let it snow." But other times our requests are deeply serious. Heal her. Help him. Hear me. God wants our prayers. God wants our supplications and our requests. He wants to be vitally present in our lives. God wants to be prayerful with us in everything. The third point that Paul makes in this epistle is to be thankful in anything. On the 39th day of sailing on a small ship, full of his family and two of every species of animal on earth, I wonder how many of us think that Noah went out on deck and thanked God once more for heavy rain. Being thankful in anything doesn't mean putting on a Pollyanna act and being resolutely cheerful come what may. Being thankful in anything does mean believing that the guiding, guarding hand of God is constantly present. Once one becomes a believer, none is ever abandoned as one of his children. The love of God through Christ remains steadfastly by our side no matter what we face. That's the reason we can be thankful in anything. Our thankfulness is not a kind of surface smile thankfulness. It's based on the confidence that no matter what comes our way, our life is built on a foundation of sacred power. Anxious in anything, prayerful in everything, thankful in everything. Then comes the peace. It is in Christ, Paul insists, that we finally experience that miraculous gift of the peace of God. So long as we are in Christ, the peace of God will guard our hearts and guard our minds. We'll pull all the pieces of our personhood together and unite them under the banner of God's peace. In John 14:27, Jesus said to his frightened disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled." In other words, don't be anxious. Anxious in nothing, prayerful in everything, thankful in anything. As this season continues to unfold, let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, radiate from your life into the lives of others. Anxious in nothing, prayerful in everything, thankful in anything, and then the peace. Let us pray. Gracious Father and Lord, we thank you indeed for Paul's words. for the inspiration of your Spirit which led him to write them, and for the truth that they hold consistent with the whole of Scripture. Help us, O Lord, to reflect on those words, to hold them in our minds, and to realize that you are always there, no matter what happens. And while life unfolds in unpredictable ways, we know that we can stand firmly on the foundation of faith, centered in your love and in your blessing. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our call to prayer comes from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Please bow your heads in prayer. Almighty and loving Father, as the year draws to a close, we reflect on the many times we have sensed your presence in this place and in our lives in every place. Even now we celebrate your presence and gladly give you our offerings of adoration and praise. You alone are worthy of our love, our obedience, and our profound fellowship. Father, in the past year, there have been opportunities for sharing your love and the gospel with others, and we have at times failed. Forgive us. There have been times when our patience was tested, and we lost our temper, saying things and behaving in ways that reflected poorly on our claim as Christians. Father, forgive us. In the past year, there have been those times when our faith was challenged and we retreated into ourselves. I confess, we confess. On the other hand, Lord, there were times when we became light and joy and peace and service and caring and blessing to others. When we were inconvenienced, but it didn't matter. When we shared and engaged and befriended and healed, and our hearts and emotions were sacrificed for the work of others, for the care of others. All because of the inspiration of your written word and the example of your living word, even Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you and bless your holy name. And Father, as we stand on the cusp of a new year, we pray, Lord, that the blessings that you have graced this congregation with over 200 years will surely continue and grow and become like blossoms that encourage our presence and our worship and our work. Guide us, Lord, during a time of transition, when we deliberately prepare ourselves for the call of a new pastor, new leadership, new dynamism, new excitement, new joy, new presence in this community. Help us, Lord, to realize that this is your congregation, that this is your church, and that we are simply servants seeking, striving, and doing what you've called us to do. Guide us and bless us this year and always, and keep us safe in your care. Turn your ear to us as we affirm our faith by praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God gave of himself through the Christ child born in the manger. We give of ourselves through our time and treasure. We now share our offering in reflection of God's offering in the babe of Bethlehem. Thank you. Let us pray. Good and loving God, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, who came among the poor to bring the riches of your grace. As you have blessed us with your gifts, let them also be a blessing to others. With all of heaven and earth, we shout for joy at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're at a time in the service when I encourage you to not only hear the message and participate in the worship experience itself through hymn singing and praying together and hearing the message, but I encourage you to use this time to reflect on how in the coming year you can be a more useful person in the work of God's kingdom. All of us here have come because we are people of faith. And because we're people of faith, we trust that the Lord is here, that he's there, wherever we are. But that needs to manifest itself in good works, in opportunities to give and to share and to bless people in their lives. So an invitation to Christian discipleship, as it's printed in the bulletin, is really simply an encouragement to keep doing the good things that you've been doing and maybe find new ways to do them better and for more people. There are always opportunities, and it doesn't take long to find them, because if you're open to the opportunities will come to you. So let us sing together, and if you have a decision to make, you can make it right where you are. If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the time to do that. And I will be here, Rick will be here with me, and we will receive you. Let us sing together. By way of announcement, let me mention a couple of things that are important for you to know. Our Wednesday evening activities will resume again in a couple of days on Wednesday. If you need to make reservations for dinner, please call the church office and let that be known. In addition to that, that'll be a full evening's activities, kids, adults, all. But something else that's really important that I want you to hear is that next Sunday morning, during our Sunday school hour, from 9:45 to roughly 10:45, we will have our first breakfast. First Baptist Church, first breakfast. And you know the two people who are so good at putting these kinds of things together. I won't mention their names for fear of embarrassment, but you know who they are. Need to know how to prepare, for how many to prepare. It would be really great if all of you who are here today could be with us. And certainly if you're visiting, just stay another week. Savannah can use the money. But it would be delightful if we could all be there together. It would help so much if you would give the church office a buzz this week and just let them know that you would like to participate, that you'll be with us next Sunday morning so that they'll know how much to prepare. It'll be a good menu. It'll be full. You will enjoy it. The fellowship time will be great. Great way for us to start a new year together. So keep that in your hearts and in your minds. And now, hear the good word, the benediction from our Lord God. I love you. I love you. I love you. God bless you all. Go with God.